Another thing that John and Cheryl do with the Babcocks and the Mathises, who are also going away for the winter, is that they take home communion to people that are not able to get out. And so if that's something that God would place on your heart to want to do, make sure you check in with the office, and we can walk you through what that looks like. At a minimum, we have several people that are watching online. Hello, we haven't forgotten you online. That could use a visit during the week. And if you're thinking, I don't know if I could do communion, but I could at least go visit someone, we would love to make sure that we're keeping in touch with our folks that are not able to get out. So let us know if God has laid that on your heart to do. All right? Okay. So I've got 13 minutes. You ready? Here we go. Woohoo! 100 miles. Hey. All right. What do these three companies have in common that you see on the graphic there? We know that Netflix, if you remember, it used to be that you would say, hey, I want to watch this movie, and they would send it through the mail. You remember that? Anybody receive a movie from Netflix? Yeah. We were just so lazy to go to Blockbuster or wherever that we would actually say, hey, Netflix, send this to me, right? And they would send it to us, then you'd send it back. Well, they realized that they were going to need to reinvent themselves if this thing was going to work. And so now, if you have Netflix, we're live streaming, or not live, we're streaming all kinds of stuff, any kind of movie and television show and all that kind of stuff. But they reworked, they reinvented themselves because they knew that the whole sending the DVDs through the mail was not going to be a thing for very much longer. Play-Doh used to be stuff that they would use. I believe it was gray, and they would use it to get the soot and things off of your walls or wallpaper when people heated in a different way, and it's going to show you that I'm not a construction guy, that would get that stuff all over your walls, and they would invented it so that you could use that to get the black stuff off your walls. They realized kids started playing with this stuff, so it went multicolor, and so now you can just put a glob in the thing in the barber shop, and you push the button, and the guy's hair grows before you get to cut it, right? So they reinvented themselves. Amazon, what did they start selling initially, you remember? Books, yeah, there's a place that you'd go buy books. Every college kid loved it, right? They could go get books, new and used, and they also realized that this was not going to be the long-term plan, and now you can buy anything under the sun when it comes to Amazon. My point is that there comes a time when we have to evaluate where we are, look to the future and say, where is it that we want to go, and how in the world are we going to come into this or come up with this idea or pivot, switch, change, whatever it may be, to get where we want to go and where God has called us to go. So I want us to look real quickly at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. The context for Joshua chapter 1 is that Moses had just led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, through the wilderness, and now they're standing at the threshold of the promised land, and God has said, Moses, you're not going to be the guy to take them in because of the sin you've committed. Aaron had already died, and so he didn't get to go in either. That whole generation of people didn't get to go in because they grumbled and complained all the way. So who wants to grumble now about year 2025? We're not going to grumble, right? And so all those people didn't get to go in. And so now Joshua, who would be an older guy by this time, is faced with all this next generation of Israelites that God is allowing to go into this promised land. And this is what I want us to see, just a few quick things, okay? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. There was a transition of leadership that took place, right? A transition of leadership. Moses was the guy, now we got Joshua. What's he going to be like? What's he going to expect of us? We're going to see, but there had to be a transition in leadership. We're stepping into the next stage of things, okay? And so there's this transition of leadership to Joshua. Next few verses. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. This is God talking. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. God says, look, all of this is going to be yours. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's a pretty cool promise, isn't it? Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. there was a timely encouragement that came from God. All the people could have been looking at Joshua and saying, man, this isn't going to work. I mean, Moses had the staff with the snake, and the staff, he hit it, and the waters parted, all this stuff. We've not seen that from you, Joshua, and so I don't know about this whole thing. Is God going to be around? What's going to happen? And God, with his timely encouragement, says, look at me, Israelites. Look at me. Look right here, right? And he's saying to them, I'm not leaving you. Joshua's going to take you in. All this beautiful land, it's going to be yours. Nobody's even going to be able to stand and confront you. That's how this is going to play out, this timely encouragement. Next couple of verses. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There was a transparent agreement that took place between God and the Israelites. He says, here's the deal. I'm taking you in. All this beautiful stuff. No one's going to stand against you. But here's the deal. Here's the agreement that we have. Follow my law. Do what I tell you to do. If you do what I tell you to do, we'll win. You'll have success wherever you go. And I'll be with you. I'll watch over you. But it's a very clear agreement as to what's going to take place. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you were to pass over this Jordan to go in and to take possession of the land, and the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And they answered Joshua, verse 16, skip down a couple, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. There was a tested response. In 3 days, we're doing this. Here's all the beautiful stuff. I'm going to help you. Nobody will stand against you. Be strong and courageous. Joshua's going to lead you in. You need to follow my law, and it's happening now. You don't get a month to think about it, right? You got to figure it out now. Are you going to go? Are you with us, or are you not? There was a tested response that came. Now, if we look at what happened, what transpired in Joshua chapter 1, and we take that story and put it on 2025, Kalkaska Church of Christ, we too are coming to a transition period. I know it's arbitrary. It's just another day, January 1st, 2026. But we've built it up into our minds that there's an end of 1 year and there's a beginning of the next year. And it's a great time to think about, who do I want to be? What's God calling to me? What are the things we need to leave behind? What are the things we need to put to death? What does not need to go into 2026 with you that we need to just say, you're not going? And what does it look like for me to follow the commands, to follow the teaching, to follow the direction that Jesus has laid out before me? What does it look like to have that kind of agreement? So, here's some questions. What transition needs to be made in your life in 2026? I hope, just as I brought the Jacobsons up here, that if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never been baptized, and no, I'm not talking about sprinkling or pouring water, but I'm talking about immersion, where you're buried with Christ Jesus. If that's not happened for you yet, I hope and pray that in 2026, that's number one on the transition timeline, to-do list, whatever it is that you need, that I'm going to come to grips and agreement, am I ready to surrender my life to Jesus? I hope that's number one. But maybe for you, it's all these ministry team leaders that you're like, you know, I probably need to transition to a time of serving God because of all that he's done for me. What does it look like to be part of his army and to be part of his team when it comes to serving? Maybe it's reading the Bible all the way through in a year because you've never done that before. Maybe your Bible's collecting dust at home. Maybe you don't even know where Numbers was. When someone said they didn't like that book, you're like, I don't even know where to find Numbers, right? Maybe that's the thing that you need to transition to in 2026. But what is that transition? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not, but have everlasting life, right? And so that's my hope and prayer if you've never made that decision. Galatians 2:20, I shared this last week. Man, this is an awesome verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is it that you need to put to death from 2025 that going into 2026, you look at him and say, you know what? You sinned. You don't get to come with me. I'm coming with the rest of us to 2026, right? All of your other personalities get to come into 2026 together, right? That one has to stay behind. There's some things that we just need to put to death. What are those things for you? Secondly, what encouragement from God do you need in 2026? What promises do you need to read from God's word that are going to encourage you as you step into 2026 to say, you know what, I can tackle this, I can say no to these things, I can put these things to death because I know that God is watching over me and all he asks of me is that I be the man or woman that he has created me to be. What's the encouragement that you need? In Philippians 4:19, it says, Paul wrote, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." In Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6, therefore don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What encouragement do you need from God, from his word, as you enter 2026 to say, I know this is a brave thing. I know I don't have time for this. I know I don't have the money for this, but I feel God calling to me this. I'm going to jump in with both feet, and I'm just going to trust that he's going to provide and watch over and take care of me. Third, what reminders of Jesus' marching orders do you need reminded of in 2026? If you're thinking, I don't know, Andy, it's just another year. What do I need to be thinking about or focused on? Well, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Maybe we need to be refreshed of Jesus' teaching and the Sermon of the Mount on the Mount in Matthew 3, 4, and 5 and say, oh, that's how he's calling me to live. Maybe that's the transition that you need to understand the clear agreement that God has for us. Or how about this agreement in Matthew 28, 19, and 20? Go therefore and make what? Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Can you not feel God saying to you, share your faith with someone in 2026? Pray to him, asking for someone to come across your path that you might be able to engage in some kind of spiritual conversation telling them about Jesus. Why? He's called us to it. You're not going to go wrong if you put on your goal list for 2026, I'm putting to death that I never talk about Jesus, and 2026, he's coming up in every conversation I have, right? I'm talking with 3 friends this year, 5, or whatever it may be. We know that that's what he's called us to. A clear encouragement for us. 1 Samuel 15:22b, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. In other words, God wants our heart. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to trust him. Revelation 2:26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. We've been called to conquer. We've been called to finish well. We've been called to place our trust in Jesus. And so the final question is, how are you going to get started today? I know that Wednesday is New Year's Eve, so you got a couple of days maybe to think about it, right? Just like Joshua said, hey, pack up your stuff. We got 3 days and we're heading into the next stage here, the next transition. You got 3 days. And then we're entering into a new year. Who is God going to see when he looks at you from his heavenly throne with Jesus at his right hand? Is he going to see someone that has evaluated life and said, these are the things that need to be put to death, and these are the things that I need to start doing or continue doing because they're honoring the God that created me and saved me? I would suggest that a new year is not about a new truth, but it's about a new trust. When we step into something new, when we change something, there's usually some risk involved that we're not sure that we're going to be able to handle it. I can tell you that God has made an agreement with us that he will not leave us or forsake us, and that if you jump into something that he's encouraged you to do, he absolutely will be there to help you if you fall down, or if you need straightening out, he's going to be there for us. But we have to put our trust in him. Here's a picture of Galador. How many of you remember Galador? Galador was almost the end of the Lego Corporation. Lego started it in 1932 by Ole Kirk Christensen. And in 1949, they came out with the plastic bricks that we now know as Legos. But in the early 2000s, they started to shift in a different direction. They decided that they wanted to open theme parks and do this other stuff. And they got involved with this TV series, this Galador. And they started losing money hand over fist. And they realized, we need to shift. And so you know how they shifted? They shifted by getting back to the basics of who they were at the beginning. Remembering that what they had was a good thing. In fact, it used to be wooden bricks, and then I think it was 1960, the wooden brick factory burned to the ground, and they said, you know what, we're getting away from the wooden ones, we're going to focus on the plastic ones. My point is that sometimes when it comes to thinking about the transition to a new year, we need to get back to the basics and saying, who did God create me to be? What has he made available for me to do to show me that to show him that I love him, that I trust him, and that I want to follow him? And he's given us an avenue through the church, right, through his church, to say, yes, read our Bible, pray, serve, be in Christian community. Those are all good, healthy things that Jesus has taught us and will lead to a life that I'm telling you is filled with joy and peace and trusting in him and promises fulfilled, and you will not go wrong. Are you ready to transition to a new year? Maybe it'll be the promised land for you. I don't know. Are you ready to put to death the things that are holding you back in your relationship with Jesus? That's my prayer for us in 2026. Lord God of heaven and earth, creator of all things, gracious, loving, heavenly Father, who is also just, we come before you as a people of God to say that we love you and we trust you. And Lord, my prayer is that each of us would evaluate over the next 3 days, what are the things that we need to put to death, that we need to not allow to go into 2026 with us? And what are the things that we need to focus on when it comes to your agreement that we have with you to follow you, the promises and the encouragement that you give us when we realize you'll be with us wherever we go? And Father, I pray that we would take a stand, that we would decide that we are a people of God who trust him and will follow you. And I pray that our new trust that we have in you in 2026 will be more powerful than anything that we've ever had in our relationship with you. And that at the end of 2026, we'll have a great celebration of the new lives that you've brought to us, of the new excitement that you've brought to our life, maybe the new peace, the new hope, the new challenges, whatever it may be, that we'll be able to say we stood with you the whole year. And because of that, we've been able to watch you work. Again, you're a great and loving God, and we love you and thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.